December the 9th, 2016, we talk about Dishonored 2, the Sunless Sky announcement, and we ask you about your holiday game-playing traditions. Welcome to Level 175. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is David Mysmith.
My name is Allison Baker.
And I'm Jala Prendes.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Hey, there's a new voice here. Hi, Allison.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you very much for coming on. People who listen to the network know who you are, but why don't you kind of give your pitch? Tell people what you do.
Oh, what do I do? I guess it all started when I started making like Lego fan art for Dark Souls and posting it in the Bonfireside Chat Facebook, and it just kind of steamrolled from there, and now I'm just all over the community, so.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who I am.
LegoDarkSouls.tumblr.com. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So thank you very much for popping in. We had some last minute and not last minute cancellations, but it is nice to roll with the full crew. I was about to ask how everybody's doing, but we talked about that beforehand and we're not doing too great. So
but you know what? It's girl power. We're taking over. It's exciting.
Yep. and that is just fine. I don't know why I laughed when I said that. I knew she was joking, and then I don't know.
Nervous laughter.
Yep, I don't know how to do this, guys. No, it's pretty great. I'm excited to get into the thick of this and talk about some cool game stuff. Anybody have any anecdotes over the past week?
Well, it's been more than a week, but you know, I also wanted to mention Allison was doing Duck Stream.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
I was running at the time.
Yeah.
I couldn't see the stream, but but Allison was streaming.
Yeah, I went on and drove donations by what was it? Suplexing or kicking people in the head, something like that.
Yeah, I got a dollar for every roundhouse kick I did in Resident Evil 4, so.
Woo!
trying to do as many as possible.
Yeah. and you did that so I could sleep. You were roundhouse kicking for the cure for tiredness.
Yeah. I do what I can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, go ahead.
This is completely random, but I'm going to pretend this is a legitimate segue. Jala's going back to RE6 inspired me to watch a Let's Play of RE5 because I loved that game. And did anyone ever notice that halfway through you have to like find this, you know, ancient historical artifact, and it's straight up some like jungle mask wearing people like fighting velociraptors? And yeah. Like no one comments on that.
No one in the game. People, I mean, like, no one is it's a fucking ridiculous thing. Like,
right, yes,
like,
it yeah, is.
No one in the game's like, wait a minute, dinosaurs?
Yeah, I just it is. I think everybody is kind of a nerd. You know, it's in a world where everything is magical and possible. You know, you're not gonna turn a. I was about to say turn a second eye to that, but that is not a thing.
I guess my wonder is it sort of reminds me of like St. George with dragons. You know, this is kind of, I feel like, the equivalent with Resident Evil with dinosaurs, where I'm like, wait, so are we saying that like dinosaur fighting is technically part of the canon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's we don't need to go too terribly far into this, but that is where that is where the Spencer family Spencer he went and found the stuff to make the progenitor virus from the Plagas there. Like, they're like, so you could say that the zombie virus comes from a land of dinosaurs, unless the dinosaurs that you're fighting, I can't remember, Jala Allison, let me know if you remember this. Were those Plagueis monsters, they just happened to look like dinosaurs, or were there, was that like a King Kong kind of thing where they just happened to be there?
No, I think they were just Plagueis monsters.
Okay.
That's how they explain everything. Everything is some kind of weird offshoot of, you know, whatever the current virus or whatever is.
Yeah.
So.
See, I played all the way through five and six, but I only played a fairly short ways through four. So I guess I'd never realized that four went that far off the rails.
Oh, you were talking about four. Wait, four?
No, I'm talking about five.
Oh yeah, like four is a really funny and goofy game, but yeah, five totally is. I thought you've played all the way through five? I'm confused, David.
Yes, I've played all the way through five, and I do not remember dinosaurs, but that's all right.
Well, that's just gonna have to be okay.
Well, think about it. I mean, once six turns into a giant T-Rex, so
that's true.
You know, whatever. And then a giant fly or whatever the hell he is at the very end.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, okay. Why are you surprised by dinosaurs?
I don't know.
To quote a wise turtle, the world may never know. Huh. Well, I think that we can move forward with the show. I think we've achieved the requisite number of banters. I've been awake for a very long time, guys. I'm sorry. but we've got the usual kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And we're going to get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Does anybody have a story they want to volunteer?
Yay!
Go for it, Jala.
I have an exciting one. So over with the weekend, we had the Capcom Cup happen. And that's, you know, the Street Fighter V tournament. And Ricky Ortiz is a trans woman who competed in this Capcom Cup. And she ended up finishing in second place. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say thanks first to Lance for bringing this to my attention. He actually shot it over to Dennis. And then Dennis wasn't going to be on the show today. So then it got bounced to me. But anyway, this was also a big deal because there were a lot of points in the tournament, especially right at the beginning, that had a lot of turnover and a lot of unexpected stuff happened. Like, it started off with the last seeded player who only made it to the event because other people dropped out, beating the top seeded player who was expected to come out as the champion. Then right after that, the second lowest seeded player beat the second seeded player. And then the third lowest seeded player beat the third seeded player. So I mean, like, everybody,
so they're just proceeding in kind.
Everybody was just tumbling and knocking over all of the top people from, you know, like the rankings from before everything started going down.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it was an all-American victory. Like, Americans took over the whole damn thing. Japan and all of Asia lost this one. So that's like a big deal. Not something that's quite as common. So anyway, it was like an American versus another American battling for the top spot. Even like the casters who were, dictating what was going on or talking about what was going on, the announcers were thinking that the Japanese players were going to win because, that there's no way that, America could take over the entire thing. But that's what happened. The overall winner was a guy whose nick is Knuckledew, a 20-year-old who has a preferred character for each type of opponent, meaning that he put some serious pre-planning into the whole thing because he was toggling between three different characters depending upon who he was fighting.
Wow. So it's not just like... So he can't just be like predicted, right?
Yeah. He, and not only that, but he knew the strengths and weaknesses of whoever he was up against, mm-hmm. because, you know, he was using an appropriate character, to counter them.
Yeah.
And circling back to Ricky, though, she was 26th seed, but started rolling when she defeated Gamer B, who was the 7th seed player. And then she went on to beat the three top Japanese players before meeting Knuckle Doo in the finals. And I watched some of her matches, and she's just so composed. It was so awesome to watch because, you know, even the Japanese gamers and all the other people that she was fighting, like, their emotions were all over the place. And just no matter if she won or lost, she was just super cool and collected. And it was so cool just to watch because, you know, she was just so... you know, just like chill about it. And even when she lost to Knuckle Doo, she got up, gave him a hug and, you know, like was cool, you know, no, like, you know, upset crying face or anything like that as some of the other people were doing or any of that. And so it was awesome. So I would recommend that people take a look at that and look it up and take a look at this.
Don't be thrown off that the videos and article are on redbull.com.
Oh yeah, there's that. But I mean, like, you can YouTube it.
Good articles.
You can YouTube it and just look for, you know, Capcom Cup finals and just pull it up. But anyway, so that was really cool, and I was excited about that. I did miss the actual tournament when it was happening because I was going crazy, as kind of aforementioned. But still, this was really cool. So again, thanks, Lance, for bringing this up. And, you know, listeners, if you want to bring cool news to our attention that we may or may not know about, I mean, some of you guys already do in the Slack channel, but like, you can also, you know, DM us or whatever if you want to do that. It's cool.
I'm looking at this.
Seriously, if it's less than or if it's greater than 1 minute before the start of the show, we don't have any news yet.
Well, except for yourself. I'm responsible.
Yeah. No. So, it only looks like I don't have the news. I found the article earlier today. I usually find the article early on Tuesday. I just forget to share it until that's then, and that is how you get swooped. But I'm looking at this. I guess they have a specific or a special stage for the Capcom Cup. Like, they're in a wrestling ring. They've got the ropes and the, was it turnstile, turnbuckle? Which is the right one?
Turnbuckle.
There we go. Yeah, thank you. And they've got people cheering in the background, including a gigantic bear. is that a character? Because I know, like, Tekken has a kangaroo. Is there a bear fighter? But and by which I don't mean like somebody who fights bears. Obviously, Zangief does that. But like a bear character, a bear-ictor.
I think Tekken has a bear.
I don't know because I don't have five yet. Just because I haven't had anybody to play with, and I don't really do online game, like online fighting games, so much.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
See, I haven't actually looked at the article, but I choose to imagine this as this stage is basically being like Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, just giant, like, true to life holograms fighting it out.
It's that is not far off, actually, from what it looks like to me.
That's pretty badass.
Huh. There's a drone flying in the air. That's thoroughly modern. Well, that's cool. It's obviously USA, USA, USA. But you always like those underdog stories in in any kind of sport, or otherwise.
Well, and then just sports all pride. Of the finals. Yeah, well, all of the finals from the beginning of this tournament just went crazy, and all the underdogs were just representing, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really cool, but yeah.
Yeah. I'll do mine next because it's fairly brief. I don't know, have we talked about the shortage on the NES Classic on the show? Has that been actually addressed?
No.
I don't know, but I know about it.
So back in early November, Nintendo said, hey, we're going to bring you guys this little box. They mentioned it earlier than November, but November was the release day. Here's this little box with, you know, 30 NES games on it, and it's going to look like an old NES but smaller. And it'll be $60, and it'll be a fun little thing to have in your house, but we don't want to take your money. And we don't want to give you this thing, so we're going to make four of them and send them all to the Philippines.
Dang it, the Philippines.
I mean, they're having fun. I don't begrudge anybody. I'm envious, but you know, I wouldn't take it away. So the problem is not the problem, but the reason I'm bringing this up, this is how ridiculous it's getting. So a retailer that doesn't sell games, as far as I know, Urban Outfitters, right? They decide to, for some reason, sell some of these online. All right.
That's not actually not surprising at all.
I don't know Urban Outfitters. I was getting confused with American Apparel.
They are all about the hipster retro stuff. This is a, I would expect them more from Urban Outfitters than GameStop.
This is true. This is honestly, I have to agree. Yeah. I think you're right on the money there. Money.
but I'm looking at this. So they decide, hey, we're going to sell these things, and it's not like featured on their online store. All they do is tweet out a hidden link saying like, hey, the NES Classic Edition is now available with this nice picture of the NES Classic, surrounded by some like Christmas ornaments and stuff. It's real cool. Like, hey, let's give people who follow us on Twitter a way for us to buy. Nope, actually, it sold out in like 4 seconds. This was earlier today. They tweeted it out and then just gone. Wah, wah. So I mean, people got them, which is pretty great. But yeah, not everybody could have done this. But yeah, they're selling for like $200 on eBay now. On launch day, they were selling one of these every 18 seconds. On eBay, it's kind of ridiculous, and obviously people are kind of salty about this, saying, Nintendo, you should have known people were going to want these. Why did you manufacture scarcity once again? Yeah, I don't know if I blame Nintendo necessarily, but yeah, I would like to have one of these, and it just means I probably never will. I didn't give you guys anything to say. I think I, oops. am I crazy for wanting this?
There was like, just a depressed, there is just a depressed and, yeah. And lonely pause of darkness and wintry death.
Yeah. So Allison, you said you won't want to, you haven't picked up one of these because you're somebody who I know who tends to pick up stuff like this, or, you know, has more game hardware than most that I know.
Yeah. It's an addiction, but, I haven't been able to find one of these yet.
Okay. Yeah.
I know I'm not a big retro gamer. I don't exactly like, cause all of the games are available already. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I think I'd actually prefer not have this, honestly. The less things I can have in my life, the less things there are to make me crazy.
I suppose. I mean that I have a lot of sympathy for that outlook. I also have a lot of affection for the NES, and so I would like to have one of these sitting on my desk so I could play some Punch Out every once in a while. Yeah.
Now, am I correct that Grant, like you said, you know, most of these are available like via digital download and things like that, but mm-hmm. Am I correct? It seems like I read that the way the hardware is on the NES, like actual old NESs, they basically all will inevitably like break down eventually, or something like that, or like the cartridges corrode or something like that.
The problem with a lot of the original old school NES, old school, God, I hate that. A lot of the original NESs that were shipped, the ones that kind of loaded from the side, as opposed to from loading from top down, something like the spring breaks down or something breaks inside the console where it doesn't make proper contact with the connectors on the cartridges themselves, and so that's what led to a lot of the failures where you would put in a game and it wouldn't start up, and people would take their cartridges out, blow on them, and put it back in. It wasn't the blowing on them that actually solved it. It was reseating the cartridge and pushing back harder. Oftentimes. Okay. Yeah. But yes, anything that you find now that is like a custom piece of hardware, you know, because the patent on the original NES is up, that loads from the top is not going to have that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep, and that was a long-winded way to explain a thing that pretty much everybody knows. That's not, I'm not throwing shade at you for not knowing that. It's just like that is for people who are crazy about like old hardware stuff like that.
Sure,
like that is
sure.
a known thing. That top loader
Super Atlas. I used to have to shove another game in on top of the game that was in my NES to make it work.
Yep, or use a second controller because those were a little bit a little bit narrower. It was easier to kind of wedge them in. Yeah. Yep, it was a boneheaded design on the original NES, except they had video out, like a composite video out, and that was kind of bizarre for the time to have that on such a small, you know, something that wasn't incredibly expensive.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, Urban Outfitters decided to do something cool, and they drew heat for, you know, not having enough. It's just bizarre. Hidden link, one tweet. Gone in like seconds. Oh well. David, what you got for us?
Sure. So the folks that make Sunless Sea Fail Better Games have announced that their next game is going to be called Sunless Skies. So it's going to be a sequel, I guess you could say, you know, same basic kind of roguelike Forex trader gameplay, but this time it's going to be set in space.
I was going to say, is it going to be space because it's sunless?
Yeah, so that's actually why I was kind of wondering, because, you know, the kind of the world they're in does have airships as part of it already, but it is kind of in an underground cave, so flying around doesn't seem like that great of an idea. So apparently the plot is that the Traitor Empress abandons London and goes to space to found a new empire. And they've said that their depiction of space is going to be inspired by C.S. Lewis and I think Wells, they said.
Hmm. Now the cops are coming to get you.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Do I have background noise?
Yeah, you're fine. It's just always funny when that happens. I do that to Gary whenever a motorcycle starts up in his neighborhood. It's just fun.
But it's fine.
But they're basing it on C.S. Lewis and H.G. Wells.
Yes. Yeah. So it's, you know, going, and they've said kind of going to be a bit more of an Art Nouveau type of look. So it's really interesting. Their blog for Fail Better Games is actually really worth reading, because they do a lot of really good kind of, I guess, essays on game design.
Cool.
So one of them they do for this one that's really interesting is going over their analysis of what they've learned from Sunless Sea, which kind of the big takeaway they had is the game's all about, is all about, you know, kind of venturing into the unknown and, you know, sailing off and, you know, maybe finding ports or, you know, maybe getting eaten by pygmies. But then after that, you inevitably have to sail back to London with all your loot.
Yeah.
And that ends up, you know, after you've done it a couple times, kind of dragging. So the big change they're making is they're going to use more of a hub system this time around. So that that kind of alleviates some of it.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm a big fan of kind of the Fallen London world. I'm a big fan of the company. I'm a big fan of C.S. Lewis's space trilogy. So a lot of things I like going into this.
Yeah, they're manufacturing your own personal like mind trap. Like they've got your number.
Exactly. Now. Oops. If only this could be for telling that Wizards of the Coast is going to resurrect Starjammer.
Spelljammer.
I'm sorry.
Oh, never listen to Monster on my podcast, because we shit on Spelljammer all the time.
Yeah,
really.
It tends to have some really shitty monsters in it.
Mm-hmm.
The monsters are awesome. They make no sense. They make less sense than RE6 monsters, but they're still adorable.
we're just looking for different things. We just have different. Oh gosh, now I feel like I have to defend my stance on Spelljammer.
The monsters See, that make no freaking sense.
I have no love for the Gith either, and those play a large part in Spelljammer too. So it's a it's a thing. I've got reasons. Oh gosh, awkward.
I love it because both of you have like laughter in your voice, but there's this weird nervousness on your part, Cole.
there is, because it's totally not my intention to make like, anybody feel bad for what they like.
Oh Lord.
Oh man.
It's okay.
It's fine. No, this sounds great. I haven't played Sunless Sea, but I have a lot of respect for what it is, and it's one of those things where if it caught me at the right mood with enough time, I would totally go for it. So this sounds again like that Art Nouveau kind of thing is A+.
Yeah. Yeah. This second one sounds more like my jam than the first one did. So
yeah,
like I didn't ever play it, but I looked at it after hearing about it so much, and then I'm like, this does not strike my fancy. I will move on now. And that's
Did you say it exactly like that?
More or less. I mean, you know, Jala has an inner monologue and speaks in third person sometimes. So.
Well, cool. Thanks for bringing this to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Allison, how about you? I know we gave you very little notice. So if you have not been able to prepare anything, that is understandable as well.
Sure. I just guess I'll mention that, the PlayStation Experience happened this past weekend.
Hmm.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know if anybody else saw, but they announced, or I think they'd already kind of announced it, but they showed a trailer for Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Steven tweeting about that or Facebooking about that, whatever. So.
What details do we know?
Joel and Ellie again.
Okay.
We don't know who is the main playable character. It's a pretty short trailer. It just shows Ellie playing guitar, and then Joel walks in, and she looks at him and says, "I'm going to kill them all," or something like that, and then just cuts to the title.
Maybe it's time for me to actually dust off my PS3 and play the game that Allison mailed to me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Sitting on my shelf right next to Metal Gear 4, which sometime after Marathon, I swear. I just need some time.
I'm with a lot of people in the notion that I don't know that it really needed a sequel, but I'm still interested to see what they do with it.
I don't know that we needed a sequel with those same characters is my big thing. It feels like we got that, just even with the way that ended, no spoilers ops, but I really liked the uncertainty that was brought in with that. And any more time that we spend with them after that point just increases the likelihood that we're going to get more information than I think I want about them or that world, you know?
One thing the creator, Neil Druckmann, had said was that he saw the first game as being about love and that this one would be about hate.
So. Okay.
I'm not sure that bodes well, honestly.
I also don't know that I see what the first game has to do with love. It is a very desolate. I mean, obviously there's
love. You're going to make me, what's love got to do with it? You're going to make me just bust out. Okay.
Well, I mean, I can't stop you. It's your way or the hataway, but it's God, that episode is so good. That just go and listen to the episode of Teenage Dirtbags about, what is love? but it's, yeah, I don't know. I'll give it a chance. I really, really like The Last of Us. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then that means it might make me flip a table.
That's right. I can't say whether I like anything now because it means Jala won't like it.
Well, I don't know. There's like a 50-50 chance that I will totally... I was going to say, there's a 50-50 chance that I'll totally be exactly of the same opinion as Cole on the thing and be like, yeah, totally, absolutely, 100%. And then the other half of the time, I'll be flipping a table about it in the corner.
It's just my recent batting average is very, very bad. Yeah. Was there anything else cool that came out of the PlayStation experience? I did not see this at all.
There was not a whole lot. They showed some new Destiny stuff, so if you're into that, you know, cool. Yeah.
They announced, I understand people are into that.
The Resident Evil 7 demo got an update that added some new content and made it VR compatible.
Oh, wow.
So you might hear a little more about that in my What You've Been Playing.
Yeah. I was about to ask you if you tried that, but then I remembered we still have more show to do. yeah. Cool. Well, that's big. Man, I like that there are more of these events. I wish that they were publicized more, even on the sites. Right. Like, I check sites pretty much every day. I saw nothing about this.
Yeah, I forgot about it until it kind of snuck up on me, but I managed to carve out time to watch it.
Oh, nice.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. This time, Jala, you put up the question that was suggested by Greg P.
Yes, I did. And it is, what are your holiday gaming traditions? And it can be any holiday, not necessarily the holidays we're rolling into. So.
And that was the question that you and Greg decided to ask the nice people. Sorry, I have to say it otherwise.
Again?
No, it's fine. I just had to make sure that got in there. The nice people. I'll pick up here. So Greg answered his own question, saying, I first got Castlevania 3 during Halloween night in 1990. To this day, I still play it and beat it every Halloween. Also, since I got Legend of Zelda for Easter in 1988, I play that every Easter, and I also play a lot of retro games that I originally got on past Christmases on each Christmas Eve day now to relive the past. I about said relieve the past, and I...
it's a different sentiment.
Has pastitis. yeah, so the... what Greg is outlining is an untenable pattern where every single year that passes, when he gets new stuff, he has to play the same thing at the same time.
It's like Groundhog Day, except not.
Yeah,
I don't know. So it's like a rolling ball.
If he gets a new game for Christmas, does he have to then play both of them the following year?
I know, like, man.
Yeah, it gets out of control very quickly. You know, like, hey Cole, what are you doing this Christmas? Playing the 28 other games, playing these 28 games. Or do you do next Christmas? Playing 29 games.
See, oh, come on, as if you were only going to get one game for Christmas.
I'm not getting any games for Christmas this year, actually.
Oh, that you know of.
Oh, true. True.
See, I feel like you could come up with a system, though. You'd have to, like, Schrodinger's cat it. So you have to, like, attach an unstable isotope to your Amazon account so that there's no way of knowing precisely when you bought the game. Mm. That way you wouldn't be obligated to play it.
Mm. what you're describing is something that I think would actually be useful, which is kind of a mutator for Steam, where it just randomly decides what you're able to play. So it actually focuses you. There's an algorithm that says you ought to be playing. And it's like, well, I've got no option. Or I've got, like, I can choose from two of these three. And they're just going ahead.
You know, that would make me flip even more tables. I would get mad.
I could actually see that being, like, an interesting experiment, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially
don't you
if
try
you...
to limit me. I'll kill you.
Fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
Exactly. I won't even do what I think I'm going to do when I open up Steam. So Steam can't tell me what to do.
So you don't let yourself
govern myself. No.
Allison, what does Steven say?
Okay. Steven says, I don't really have a set tradition, but this year I'm excited to have everyone in the family take turns falling out of their chair when they try PSVR.
Are they falling out of their chair because they're dizzy, because they're so blown away by it that it's like one of those old ass commercials where they get blown through the wall, or, like, you know, what kind of scenario? Okay. Or do they just, like, fucking trip or something?
Yeah, I think that like one of the features on PSVR is spontaneous chair failure.
I did have my mom over recently to try mine out, and she about fell over in the chair.
Is it like a, so let's describe these chairs because there are many different kinds. Are we talking about a, we're talking about a recliner, or are we talking about a like a swivel this chair?
This was kind of a standard, just like wooden, like kitchen table chair.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually a guy here at the house that's working on a meditation app that's basically like you put on a VR headset and all of a sudden you're on a beach and a voice is like doing a guided meditation for you. It's actually pretty cool.
And you're not sure, and you can't relax because you're not sure if somebody is sneaking in, into your room and stealing your shit.
Sure. Is, I mean, except for when Dennis is getting you drunk, is that a problem you often have?
See, it's a miracle because when Dennis came over for Duckstream, he didn't take anything.
He was too busy with the hats.
Yep, he brought hats.
So that's the secret, you know. You read about, you know, vampires with garlic and, you know, werewolves with silver with Dennis. His weakness is hats.
Yep, more hats he can have in the room. Yeah. Let's see here, David. What does Raghavan say?
Raghavan says, "Do food comas count as a video game? Happy holidays, everyone."
Thank you. Why don't you do Sam's as well?
Sure. Sim says, "If I remember to, I play through Snatcher at some point over the month. It's Christmas-themed, pretty short, and contains concentrated amounts of Kojima."
That is a really, really good tradition, actually, Sam.
Yay, Sam!
I'm not familiar with it at all.
I've always wanted to play that
game. Yeah, kind of, what's the overall premise or whatever?
We did it on Watch Out for Fireballs. It's like a visual novel kind of thing that is literally just Blade Runner. It is what if Hideo Kojima made a game that was Blade Runner? It's very good. Like Sega CD emulation is kind of a bitch, but I wholeheartedly recommend it. That's funny because when we did that, we played it over the over Christmas too. We put that in as a short low effort one for December.
That was a fun one to listen to, that episode.
it was a lot of fun to do. Jala, what does Roop say?
Roop says, "I try to complete Gabriel Knight 1 and 2 every Christmas."
I want some context for that.
There is no context. You don't get context. Moving on.
Okay. You have to combine the random items in order to get context.
Tell me about context. Yeah, no, those are both very good games. I like them a lot, but I would like to just be playing Gabriel Knight 2 in front of your family. And they're like, "What's going on?" Let's see here. Paul writes, "In Christmas 2000, my wife and I were newlyweds and had recently moved to Albuquerque. We got a Dreamcast and Shenmue that year, and it snowed on Christmas, which is a novelty for two Texas kids. And we stayed in and played in a snowy Christmas-themed town in Shenmue. Now, my oldest daughter is playing Shenmue on that same Dreamcast this holiday season." Oh, that's adorable.
Aww, how cute. It's the circle of life. I'm all singy this episode. Yes. Let's keep moving.
Allison, what about Gustavo?
Okay, Gustavo says, "Cover myself in blankets, drink alcohol, play video games, and wish this season passes faster. But at least this year I'm flying to see my family, which is nice."
Yeah.
I just imagine just like a mound of blankets with a couple of eyes and like a controller
and a crazy straw leading from a flask into just the dark opening of the blankets.
Right. Yep.
That is pretty awesome. I like it.
Oh gosh. David, how about Tim?
Tim says, "Two traditions. I always play a Legend of Zelda game from start to finish during the month of December. This year I'm replaying Majora's Mask on 3DS. And I spend an afternoon on Christmas Day playing whatever video games I got that morning with my family. Nothing says Merry Christmas like a green tunic victoriously toppled with a golden Triforce."
Link Mystery. Yeah, he puts that in there too.
I missed that part. Yes.
Yeah. Everybody's singy. I like it.
Well, I mean, the Tim is singing. I'm acting as a conduit for his singiness.
That's fine. It's fine. Somebody was singing with me, and that's okay.
Yeah. A Zelda game with that. That's completely doable in a month. Props.
Well, yeah. I mean, Majora's Mask only takes 3 days, right?
Yeah. And then you're done. It's a very weird game. Jala, what does Derek say?
One way or the other.
Derek says, this time of year, I play a Final Fantasy game. I think I'll stick to Final Fantasy 15 this year, but usually I play through 7 or 8. Those two games hold a very special place in my heart, and this season always brings out my most sentimental and nostalgic feelings. Silent Hill holds a very special place in my heart, too, but chances are I played that back in October.
That's pretty close to what mine used to be. Now, I don't really have one of these, but my answer would have been like, oh, I pick a JRPG to play through. So like, oh, I'll play through like all of Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross during December. This is like back in college, you know,
like when you had some time and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. When that time wasn't earmarked for other stuff. But like, chances are, you know, I was playing a JRPG to get myself mentally ready for the JRPG I was going to get that winter or that Christmas, you know? So, so yeah, that would have been mine. Now I have nothing. Ollie writes, when I go home, and my brothers are there, we play Commander Keen and try to do our own version of speed runs, fastest time or highest score wins. Also really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allison, what does John say?
John says, my gaming tradition, at least in college, was to come home, lock myself in a room, and play 60 hours a week of whatever game I just bought. I specifically remember Twilight Princess and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, both taking up a week of my time. After that, I'd be too burned out on the games for the rest of the winter break.
Also, this is a secret agent, man. This is a profile of somebody whose name is not John.
Oh, but
it's a longish story, but it's pretty neat. Is and it... he's a secret agent.
It can't be that secret if you know his status.
Yeah, no, he talked about it in the Slack in the level channel. You can go scroll up.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would have to go back. And
a mighty squall, also known as Matthew, although he changed his name in Slack to match his.
I don't know if it came through in my inflection, but I read it as John in quotation marks.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll go back. People can rewind if they want to hear it. Yeah. Oh man, just that free time, you burn yourself out on it. I presume I've heard. yeah. Let's see, David. What does Patrick say?
Patrick says, my tradition is to hide away from family playing games for as much time as I'm not helping to cook things as possible.
You should
that
really help
seems
your family.
Like a wise man.
one of us has to be the family nag. You should really help your family. You don't get to see them very, I presume.
He said he helps. He says when he helps cook. He did the thing, and then he went away.
Oh, wait. Playing for games as much time as I'm not helping to cook things as possible. Oh, that was bizarre syntax. I thought he was being funny, like, oh, instead of taking time to cook with my family, I play games.
No.
Yeah.
No, he says, when I'm not doing that thing, I'm doing the other thing.
I'm sorry that I couldn't parse your sentence and also assumed the worst, Patrick. let's see. Jella, what does Jaden say?
Jaden says, while it's not exactly video gaming, me and a couple of friends each buy a Magic the Gathering booster box for each other for the holidays. Once everyone has their box, we crack all the booster packs, make decks, and play three player tables with our new cards.
It's actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice. Little random decks.
Also, because it involves magic, and the next person is Mike Michael Prin. Michael said at one point that he was nicknamed Magic Mike because he plays magic.
Was this before the Channing Tatum film of the same name?
No, I'm pretty sure that's afterwards, and that's part of the joke. Okay. So
that would have been funny if it was before that. Let's see here. But yes, Michael writes
Magic Mike says
yes, magic. You're not gonna make me say that. Michael says, every year during Christmas season I do a playthrough of Final Fantasy Tactics. In this special holiday round, I name all my characters after friends and family. The characters' powers are built around their namesake's personalities. The day after Christmas, we pair them off in a bracket style battle to the death. Winner takes bragging rights, I guess. Last year's tinsel throwdown ended with my sister throwing a dictionary at my dad hard enough to knock him off a cliff to his death. Insert threw a book at him pun here. Oh, you better be careful with that dad or else you're gonna crack his spine.
I think he meant more along the legal sense of she threw the book at him.
Yeah.
Okay. I still think mine was pretty good.
Yeah, but it was a facepalm moment, which is why I said facepalm tree. Yes, har. Facepalm tree for Christmas.
Let's see. Allison, what does David say?
Okay, David says, we go to visit my in-laws in Minnesota every December for Christmas. It's normally freaking cold out, so these trips involve lots of handheld gaming under blanket time.
That nice. Sounds really nice. Yeah. David, how about Jonathan? Is this an actual Jonathan?
Is every
John fake?
No.
Okay.
Just the one.
But we won't tell you which one.
But you told me the one before.
Well, yeah, but they change. So Jonathan
says... John Roulette.
Exactly. While I don't do anything special for the festive season, my wife takes my daughter to see her family 1 week in the year in November. I take my holiday from work at the same time and spend a whole week gorging on a game, especially big ones. This year it was Deus Ex. Last year it was Witcher 3. It's a good call.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Jala, how about Jason?
Jason says, my gaming doesn't change too much for the holidays. My wife and I will usually get some good opportunities to play something we can both enjoy together. Single player games are a good bet since you don't know if hackers will bring multiplayer game capabilities crashing to a halt.
Oh yeah, like Christmas time is not the right time to play online games. Like Christmas Day and the several days after, especially.
Wait,
you know, that's real weird.
That's
because
the best
like
time,
I usually,
because that's when
usually,
there's all the fresh meat.
Well, no, but then but every it's either because of hackers or because of increased server burden that usually all of the services are down. Yeah,
I've never had a problem with that when I played on Christmas.
Oh, it might not be a universal thing. I've just had very bad. Know. I've had, even going back to like Xbox 360 times, had very bad experiences with it.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I will take us out here with, Jaris? I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. Every year on my birthday, I take the day off from work to catch up on gaming that I've been wanting to do. This year, it'll have to be Fallout 4, which I haven't put nearly as much time into as I would have liked. All this extra time off people are taking, I think I should do the same. And not only because I will lose my vacation time if I don't. yeah. Well, I've already given mine, or my non-one now. How about you all? Like anything that you return to in these cold times? Allison, how about you?
I can't really think of any specific traditions. When I was young, I'd usually get a new game or something, so I'd just sit there playing it all day, pretty much.
Yeah. David, how about you?
Yeah, I don't think I really have any, honestly.
Nobody likes traditions! Break the mold! Down with the man.
Jala, how about you, then? Come on, do you have one?
I had to scrounge and think about it. I don't always do it, but every once in a while, when I do actually think about it and feel enough urge to go dig out my Saturn, I will play Christmas Nights at the applicable time of year.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
Although now that's on the HD remake, too, so I think you can just do that. But it's like, it's fun to play that. But insofar as like video gaming, nothing unless you count that time where it's after all the family goes off and you're sitting there and everyone in your Steam list is online and you can play, you know, with everybody, but nobody is playing with you because they are all playing whatever they just bought or received as a gift rather than co-oping, even though it's like the perfect time to co-op with all the people.
Yeah.
But. So everybody's in their corner and you're just looking at your friends list like, oh my God, it's fucking lit. There's like all these people here.
It's like, but playing my gift card.
Yeah. Right. Well, my family tends to do trivia every holiday. And if my sister happens to be around, she always brings board games, like specifically Senet, which is like her favorite board game, and Chinese Checkers. And I don't know how to fucking play either one of those. So the next time she does that, I'm going to bring out Neftoffel, which is a board game that she doesn't know how to play. I like.
you stand in your corner. I'll be in my corner.
Well, she can teach me about, because Senet is a game from pre-dynastic Egypt that is basically one of the oldest known board games and is my sister's personal favorite game ever.
Okay.
And so, you know, every time she brings it over and tries to teach me, I never remember it. I never retain the knowledge of it from time to time that she has ever brought it over and to play it. So, and then Neftoffel is basically Viking chess. So that's how the easy way of explaining what it is. So. That's what I play.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I always really like Christmas afternoon and evening because, you know, like a lot of families, my family does all their stuff like in the mid to late morning. And then I always leave to go do Christmas at my dad's. And then I come back and my mom's side of the folks are almost always out at a movie. they go see movies on Christmas. I don't want to go spend Christmas in a movie theater. So what I end up doing is just like usually kicking back and playing a portable game or something like that. Like it is a very relaxing, quiet, meditative time.
Well, see, my family usually does everything that they're going to do on Christmas Eve. That's when we celebrate. We don't do anything on Christmas Day at all.
Oh yeah.
So. Yeah, and the thing about it is that this year, Christmas Eve is the day of my longest run before the marathon. We're supposed to be running 29 goddamn miles, so I am going to be probably passed out in a corner this year. So that's my story.
Yeah. Huh. Well, thank you, everybody, for writing in. And as we get up to this, obviously, we'll wish this again, but hope everybody has a fun and safe holiday or this doesn't go too crazy getting ready for this stuff. Because, by God, have you left the house lately? I hate going anywhere or doing anything in December because just everything is way too hyphy. But yeah, if you want to participate in these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and look for them to go up on Tuesday afternoons, courtesy of Jala and Dennis, and sometimes from the people who recommend those questions. Thank you again, Greg, for submitting that for us.
The grind.
Now is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing for the past period of time or so. Allison, because this is your first time here, and because you gave us that very tantalizing preview back there during the PlayStation Experience side of things, I'm going to volunteer you to go first.
Tell us about all of your gaming experiences.
I mean, limit it to the past like 2 weeks or so, if you can.
I don't want to cover all 30-some years. Okay. I'll start with the Resident Evil demo. I don't know how many people have played that. I played it on the DuckStream. But they did a new update for that, which adds a whole bunch of new content. You can actually finish the demo now without getting grabbed. I don't know. Have you played it, Cole?
Yes, I have. And I know that they've either people have been finding new things or they've been putting stuff in. I would love to read like an article that summarizes the growth. But like there's most of the time it ends with you being like a jump scare, like these psychobillies come and grab you. Not like psychobilly, like mid-90s psychobilly, you know what I mean. There's also I read that they figured out, or they gave you something to do with the finger for the mannequin. Is that also true? Yeah.
Well, in they did two updates to the demo. One a while back, which just added like one new room, which added like a mannequin hand that you could plug the finger into, but then you couldn't do anything with that.
Yeah.
But the newest update, they said it's the final update, and you can there's multiple endings, you can do it all. But the biggest part of it is they finally made it PSVR compatible. Which
So how like, was it?
Playing that game and with the VR is it's like a totally different experience.
Huh.
Like how so?
I feel like that would be terrifying.
Yeah.
I just said the most obvious thing ever.
Yeah.
Is this a scary game, Alice?
It's definitely scary. It was really weird because I was so familiar with the demo already. Like playing it in VR almost felt like I was like transported inside a video game I was already familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really like you get a really good sense of presence, like you're actually there.
Hmm.
And
how does that work with the sections that are kind of like flashbacks in a VHS tape?
It's just. Well, I don't know. It plays just the same. You know, you put the tape in and then it just see the fuzzy screen for a second and then you're like there in the past.
Okay, that's cool. I was worried it was going to be like you're watching, so you're in VR, like in the full 3D in the room, and then you're looking at the screen and you're playing the game on the screen.
That would be interesting.
I don't know. I could see that being kind of trippy if it's like was literally you on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
walking around in that kitchen, still not fun. That's the most upsetting thing to me about that is the big old thing of stew.
Like,
yeah.
Like you can really like get your face into that fridge and it is gross.
that's pretty great.
I feel like that needs to be like the slogan on the back of the box.
get your face in that soup.
Well, you know how they'll always have like the quotes from like random critics. I feel like that would be like an amazing one.
The soup, it's out of sight. GameSpot, 9 out of 10. Yeah. Does this add any new like functionality? Like, so I haven't played with PSVR. You're the first person we've had, I think, on the network who has actually used it. Like, this has like head tracking kind of stuff. Like what's the granularity of the control that they kind of give to you there?
Well, it's like full. It's full head tracking. You're still playing like with this game. You're playing it with the DualShock in the same way you would have been playing it normally.
Mm-hmm.
But all your like looking controls are just you actually looking around.
Yeah.
And you can actually like, you know, it tracks you so you can like duck down and look at stuff like closer and.
Oh yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm really down for that. Like letting you again get your face in that soup. I don't know. Like so, the resolution is it. Believable? Like is it immersive or is it very clearly like, hey, this is a PS4 game that is kind of being down-resed and double or stereoscopically jammed into my eye holes?
I was worried about that kind of stuff going in, but like I found it like once you're in there, it's like so immersive that you just kind of don't even notice that stuff after a minute or two.
Yeah. Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really am excited for VR, and yet I have not been able to like do almost anything with it yet.
Yeah. So now you can finish it. Did this update add in yet another room that you could go into, or is it just kind of like now the guys no longer come and grab you? How does the ending change?
If you're familiar with the demo, as you leave like the TV room where you start. There's like a door to your right that's kind of covered in junk and you can't open it.
Yeah, yeah.
That door now opens to a whole other wing of the house.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically double the amount of rooms you can explore and do stuff in.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
I haven't, I need to go back and play that then.
And you can get a handgun and you can fire it.
Oh, that eases a lot of, I mean, I didn't really have a concern about that, but that answers a really important question. about this game that there will be combat. Like, does
there is an enemy and he can kill you, and it does say you are dead across the screen really big.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm down for that.
How does, like, crazy hillbilly people, what does that have to do with zombies?
Who knows?
It's
Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I mean, have they said, is this actually a Resident Evil game? They're not just doing like a, we're just going to, you know, use the name for, you know, to move product, or?
There's a photograph you can find in the demo that is of a helicopter with like a note that says something about they're watching us, but the helicopter has an umbrella logo on it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah,
it's definitely tied in, but we don't know to what extent.
Yeah, or what what continuity there is. It's called Biohazard in Japan, which that might just be another.
I think the official like title is Resident Evil 7: Biohazard, but Japan it's Biohazard: Resident Evil.
That's actually pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah,
nice.
One of my favorite things about the reveal of that is that they worked the 7 into the title, both in English and in Japanese, or you know, for both Resident Evil and for Biohazard.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Huh. So, is that extra room? Is that whole extra wing of the house? Is that available for people who don't have VR? Like, because I
you can do the whole demo, regardless. Nice.
Cool. Awesome. Well, so you're obviously going to get this on PS4 and play it like that. Is it still the case that not everything in the game is going to be VR compatible? Like those are going to be specific sections?
As far as I know, with Resident Evil 7, the entire game is playable in VR.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I'm happy to hear that it like changed it, especially for the better for you.
I mean, at least the whole demo you can play in VR, and it's good.
Cool.
I definitely do not see myself being able to like stand that.
It's tense.
I would totally get one, except for the fact that I just don't have time to play that much by way of games right now. I mean, I am playing games, but I can't justify the cost right at this point, especially with some of the other stuff I got going on. So it's one of those things that I want to get sometime, but I don't know when the hell that's going
to
be.
But you'd also need a PS4 and like you have to.
For that particular machine, but for like a VR headset, I could. You know. Whatever. Yeah.
Any other questions about the Resident Evil 7?
No, I see it when it comes out.
What else have we been playing, Allison?
Okay, well, the other big thing is Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, nice.
That looks so good.
I actually got credits on it last night, so I'm done.
Awesome.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. That's a lot of game. How many hours was that? Do you mind me asking?
The final clock was about 66 and change.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So how is it? Because I know pretty much nothing about it aside from a couple of still images. I've seen like a little bit of gameplay, like when they showed it at this most recent E3, when they showed you fighting that big boss. Like, give me the rundown on what this actually is.
Mm. Okay. About half the game is kind of like a open world exploration, do side quests fest. That's not a lot of story to it.
Mm-hmm.
It you get like story beats that like kind of string you along, but a lot of it's just kind of open.
Okay.
Then about halfway through, it like it, what it seems to me is that they couldn't finish the game, so about halfway through they just like put you on a little train and take you from cutscene to cutscene until you get to the end.
So they Metal Gear Solid 5 you.
Yeah, it's the comparison is very apt because the chapter 1, if you will, is really good, but then like chapter 2 is like okay.
Yeah.
You obviously didn't have time to finish this, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. It's this game has been in development for like 10 years. I didn't realize that until I saw that like as the lead in all of the reviews. That is like, oh yeah, you know, for a game that's been in development for 10 years, it really shows that it's been in development for 10 years.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's meant as a bad thing because something that's been in development that long probably just chances are good that it stayed in development because there were just problems they couldn't solve, or there was.
I think with this game specifically, they kind of threw it out, like completely threw it out several times. So like the actual version we got, I think, was only being worked on for maybe like 3 years.
Okay, yeah, that was the case with 12 as well. Go ahead, Jala.
I was going to ask what your overall opinion is of it, like, you know, good, bad, ugly, you know, and what do you think of it versus other Final Fantasies, etc.
Despite its flaws, I did really enjoy my time with it. It does feels a little grindy if you want to do like all the side quests and stuff. Like a lot of that content, I imagine a lot of people would just find horribly boring and just want to skip it. And you can, like, I've heard of people finishing the game in like 20 something hours.
Yeah. Just
kind of blasting through the plot. But it's complicated. The combat is, it can go from like way too easy to way too hard. And it never like nails like a real good equilibrium, I think, with that.
Sure.
Well, is it because of the enemies or just like from area to area? What changes that?
It's just like in the end game specifically, they just throw so much stuff at you and it all has like so much HP in your...
Isn't that kind of like Final Fantasy tradition?
all the battles just take forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about it versus like other Final Fantasies?
It's definitely not in my like top five. Like, if I had to pick one, I'd say like 6 is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like 6 and 12, I have a lot of affection for. I'm pretty excited for that like re-release of that.
Yeah.
But it's similar to 12 a lot because you get a lot of open area to run around and you get like hunts and stuff to like hunt down these like powerful monsters.
I like that.
That's like a lot of what the side content is going after that stuff.
Is it straight up like them cribbing for Monster Hunter? Because I've never played Monster Hunter, but when I look at that combat, I think that looks like Monster Hunter to me.
I don't know, like the combat, like the actual, like what you do is very simple. It's basically just hold circle and you win.
Oh, that's demoralizing.
But I mean, it's not quite that simple. It starts off that way, but it gets more complicated as you go. But on the easy difficulty, you could probably just hold circle all the way through the game.
Yeah.
And then toward the end, it turns into this weird stealth horror game, which I wasn't expecting. Look forward to that.
You caught me mid swig on my beer, and I had to a little bit had to come back up because that was very surprising, that thing you just said.
Well, that sounds appealing. I don't know if I want to tolerate all the rest of it that leads up to that part to get to that part.
I think it's worth playing through if you're a fan of the series. There's a lot of fun like callbacks and nods to previous games and stuff. So
yeah,
and I know some podcasts on this network aren't into that sort of thing, but
I don't know. It's been done so much in Final Fantasy that it feels like there's enough precedent for it that I would, you know,
right.
I'd be going in there just like, you know, to experience the heritage almost of that. Like, oh yeah, this is Final Fantasy, and it reminds me that it's Final Fantasy every second, and that's fine.
Like a lot of the game, you're just driving a car around on the open road, and you can blast the soundtrack from any of the previous games.
Okay, well,
that's a little much.
What? And it, at least the clip I saw, like after one of the battles, one of your friends actually starts humming like the old victory themes.
Yes, that's accurate. That's, I think, the best part about the game is like my favorite part of the game is like the banter between the four characters. It's, like you really get a good feel of like their relationship together.
Oh, good. Yeah,
it seems like they put in a lot of effort with some of the animations to go with that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, sure.
So how's the storyline?
Well, that's like I said, that's where it gets messy, because like it starts off a little messy because it really wants you to have watched the tie-in movie they released.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah. There's like a big like CG movie like called Kingsglaive that they put out like a few weeks beforehand. And I think it kind of really wants you to have watched that.
They put in a small
synopsis of it, but
have you watched it?
I was going to say,
is it good?
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, did
it
you
is.
Watch
I
it?
I did watch it, and it's okay.
Okay,
How does it compare to Spirits Within?
Okay, don't get me started on that, because I'm actually holding my Spirits Within Blu-ray case right now, and I love that movie.
Okay,
I wanted to ask though. Even if you had not seen the movie that they really want you to watch, is it, you know, like, can you still muddle through and figure out what the hell's going on? Or is it really like you need to stop and go watch the movie?
No, it's fine if you haven't. It fills in what you need to know. But it's just, like I said, the story starts off a little messily just because it I think, is referencing the stuff from the movie. And you're just like, what are you talking about?
Well, that's a bummer. Is that movie like readily available? Like, does it stream? Do you have to pay for it? I don't know if I want to
pay for it. It's readily available at the store.
I have to leave the house. Come on.
The collector's edition of the game comes with it.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it starts out messily, but then what? Like from there?
Well, I was just gonna say from there, like it gets going like really, really. Pretty decently, like, and everything, you know, makes sense up until you get to like about the last third of the game, and that's where I was gonna say it starts really showing that things were unfinished and they just didn't have a lot of time to do everything they wanted to do, so they just kind of pieced together a story with what they had. It makes enough sense to get by, but it's just you feel like you're missing a lot. I was talking to somebody, like, it's almost like watching the entire first season of a TV show and the series finale, but in between just like five random episodes.
Yeah, what it sounds like is it's the first season, but then like they had no idea if it was going to get renewed for a second. So they had to figure out a way to close it up in the final week of production. Yeah. Like I don't know. You're not inspiring a lot of confidence with it. Like I'm still excited because it looks like a really beautiful game.
It is beautiful. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun to play. But yeah, mixed feelings. I don't know. I did like it.
Yeah. Anything else?
It scratches the same itch that like exploring in Dragon Age Origins gave me. Like.
Oh yeah.
You know, the story in that game was whatever, but I just had like fun just kind of exploring all those big maps they give you.
Yeah. I could see that.
That's probably what I would be doing because I'm Jala.
Did you have anything else, Allison?
One more quick one. I got The Last Guardian and I started that.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I saw your post about that.
early impressions are not, I've been struggling a little bit with it, but I'm gonna stick it out.
I feel like that's the real reason Ben isn't here tonight.
Probably.
Well, I don't know, that sounds like a really downplayed response compared to like your trash fire comment.
Well, I got angry because a lot of the game requires you to like give this like beast commands and like you have to interact with it, and it just wasn't following any of my instructions and the whole thing was falling apart for me. But
yeah, I got a text message. So the reason why I don't think that that's going to happen, I got a text message from Ben earlier today at like 8:30, and it is like a GameStop listing, and it's like, or like some kind of website where they're listing the ratings of stuff that came out recently, and it says 7 good, and his literal commentary on that is doo 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 wah. So I'm not going to speak for Ben based on what Ben has said right now. I don't think that he's too terribly pleased, but you could tell by listening to him and when he talked about it, he wasn't He kind of divested himself of hype.
I think the most damning commentary I've seen is maybe it was the Polygon article or something just said one of the headlines or whatever was that they at the very least they did a excellent job of simulating dealing with a cat.
Wow. All right.
Dealing with.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Huh. Yeah.
The camera can also be really terrible, but that's
kind of par for the course for them.
It is a beautiful game.
Yeah.
So how much time have you put into that one?
Probably only a couple hours.
Okay.
I really just wanted to play it a little bit and then get back to Final Fantasy because I knew I was close to the end.
Yeah.
Nice.
Huh.
And like I said, it frustrated me, hence the Facebook comment Jala reference.
trash fire.
Yeah, unplayable trash fire.
Oh, no.
That was maybe a bit of an exaggeration, but...
That's okay. That's okay. I totally rage post about whatever is irritating me, even mildly, all the time on Twitter. Yeah. So it's fine.
Let's see. Jala, it's been a while since you've been on, so I want to throw to you as well.
Okay. Oh. Well, okay. For Jala's co-op corner, I finished the main Portal 2 co-op with Greg. We will go back through the extra courses sometime. I don't know when exactly. Very busy lately. But eventually, we took a peek at them. We'll go back to them at some point and then finish up the rest of it at some point. You notice the image for the multiplayer this week was also a Portal 2 reference?
I did, yeah.
There's layers. Okay, and it was Greg who suggested the question. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. All right. I gotcha.
So, all right, moving on. I also played some Castle Crashers with George, and I got to some new areas. I have never finished this game because, I'll play it with people, and then, everybody just kind of disbands, or I have to go over the same territory 100 million times. But because George has played the fuck out of this game, I got to new places that I've never been to before, and then we switch games. So,
yeah.
Anyway, and then I also played more Resident Evil 6, surprise, Leon Helena Chapter 1 with Mai. Lots of technical difficulties, but we made it anyway through the first chapter, and she really enjoyed it and wants to keep playing. So at some point, we will maybe coordinate that.
Yeah.
So that is what I've been co-oping in the last however long it's been since the last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
Since the last time, I have also finished Child of Light, including all of the side quests. Yay!
Wow.
It surprised me because I got... I didn't think I was going to get any more characters after the last place I was because I was, two-thirds or three-fourths through the game. But I got another character at the end of Chapter 9 out of 10 chapters.
Okay.
And I'm like, whoa! That's real weird! I just got, another character at the very end of the game.
Were they, a really powerful character? Or?
Yes! It was a badass character that I used for the rest of the game. So, I don't know. Whatever. It was cool. It has a nice fairy tale ending to it. And, after the credits and the last little exchange, the game plopped me back where I started in the beginning of the game, but with my full party and whatever. So I don't know what there is to do or what at that point in the game, but I just turned it off because I was I'm not doing this shit. It's kind of like the old retro games, you finish the space shooty thing and then it just starts you over on level one again, but a higher difficulty or something. Right. No.
Yeah.
I was just no, okay, no, I'm turning it off now. So I have no idea if there's actually anything else to do or if it's just yay, revel in the fact that you can beat up everybody really easily. I don't know.
Just a victory lap.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. So, any questions about that before I move on?
No, I'm not surprised that they gave you the New Game Plus run around with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing I've been playing, because I've only been playing a couple of things, is I've been playing Dishonored 2. I said I wasn't going to get it, and then I said I was going to get it, and then I said I wasn't going to get it, and then I picked it up anyway because David was talking about the first game when I wasn't here, and then Jeremy was talking about it on Dark Insight, and then it was just it got in my head, so I bought it the day before Thanksgiving and then installed it so I could start playing it. Nice. So, yeah. So anyway, I'm playing Emily. I'm currently halfway through mission number 4, about 12 hours-ish into the game. And I know that's like a ridiculous clock for the where I am in the game, because like I take a long time. But that's because I go through and then I explore all the other places that I could have gone. So I just go through the entire level all over the place before I actually finish out what I'm supposed to actually do.
Right.
So, anyway, when I started playing this, I wanted to play as Emily because I wanted to see what was different. Because Corvo, you already play him in the first game, so I figure, all right, he may have like a new power or two, you know, but like he's more or less going to be like that guy I played in the first game. I want to see what's new about Emily. And she has some cool new powers, but honestly, I like my traversal stuff, and I like some of the things that I used in the first game so much that I'm like immediately picking up, okay, I want to get, you know, dark vision leveled up as far as I can, and I want to get my, you know, she has a blink equivalent, so like her blink equivalent, you know, and level that up real fast. So I only more recently got one of her new powers, or one of her powers that is called Domino. Which basically you can link the fates of different people starting out with 2. And then as you level it up, you can link up to 4 people, to where if basically you kill one of them or you put them to sleep or something, then both of those people or all 4 of them, you know, depending upon how powerful you have it, will have the same fate. So that's really useful. She has some other cool powers too that like I said, I haven't unlocked yet. That I want to explore, but you know, other than the differences in the powers, like this plays just like the first game does. You know, it's very familiar. It seems kind of like an extension, you know, with improved graphics and, you know, basically blood flies in place of rats. And then like some new powers. And I mean, like, I know that the powers, because I was talking to Stephen about this a little bit, the powers, once you unlock all the unique powers that are new to this game, it really does change the way that you play the game. Because I mean, think about it, with something like Domino, that really changes, you know, your approach to how you go through. If you can link up, you know, these people and knock a couple of them out at the same time or what have you. And you know, there's other powers that she has available to her that I have not unlocked yet, because I was getting my staples out of the way because I like my traversal so much and ever. So once I get there, like later on in the game, that's really when I think that's going to blossom for me and really start showing me some new tricks, you know? Also, I like how they call them blood flies rather than mosquito hornets of hell. Because they should be mosquito hornets of hell, because they're basically blood, you know, blood sucking things that live in a bloody hornet's nest, and then they infect humans and lay eggs in them, and then they burst out of their dead body in a vile cloud of Old Testament pestilence to eat the face off of anybody who's hanging out to watch, and it's pretty cool.
Nice.
They're a lot better than rats. The rats are still like around. They kind of hang out, but like they're not
a big part of Corvo's moveset, from what I understand.
Oh, okay. Well, then that explains it. But also, there's a bone charm you can get where like you can kill blood flies and rats and then get like, I don't know, energy or something off of them. But anyway, there's also labs and stuff where people study these things everywhere. So there's like every once in a while you'll come across like a doctor's office and there's just like blood flies in a container, you know, where they had them, you know, they were keeping them to study them. And then like a dead person on the table whose body sometimes will explode in blood flies that come after you or something, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of fun.
You mentioned that Elizabeth doesn't have blink. She has an equivalent. Like, how is hers different?
It's not really. It's just called something else.
Ah, okay.
It's like far reach or something like that. But it acts like blink. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that they feel the need to change the name of it, even though it does the same thing. Like, okay.
It could just be, yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, I like the carriages. It makes me feel like I'm on a roller coaster. There's carriages from place to place, and it's on, like, you know, these rails, and it goes up. It's like, and I feel like I'm about to, like, you know, have a drop on the other side, but then it's just a station.
Yeah.
Sad. Well, anyway, I'm playing on a low chaos run, but I'm not really strict about my nonviolence. big surprise there. if it becomes inconvenient, I kill them.
Right.
So, and actually, this one this one dude I recently hit with a trank dart exploded into a pile of rats, and that was interesting.
It was just a bunch of rats walking around in a human suit.
I guess, because he just like poofed, and he was a dude who they were like, oh, be careful about Paolo, blah blah blah, and then like, you know, I hit him with a trank dart to make him fall asleep, but then he just like exploded, and I actually reloaded that part a couple of times, and I was like, wait, what the fuck? Did I somehow just, you know, have the wrong bolt in my thing? No, he just explodes into rats no matter what you do.
Yeah, you
knock him out, and he turns into rats. And so the best part is that Emily's like, hey, where'd he go? Like, it was a magic trick, and she's just like not fazed at all by the fact that he just fucking turned into a giant pile of rats. And I'm like, but he's not vanishing. I mean, like, it's a magic trick, sure, but he's not vanishing. He's turning into a pile of rats, and then all of a sudden the rat skittery music with the, you know, screechy sounds comes on, and then like it starts eating the bodies of all the people that you put to sleep around him, and then just like runs off in a big terror, or comes after you and tries to kill you. But I was up high, so it was okay.
That's ridiculous, Jala.
Well, anyway, so that's a thing that happened. And oh, and Emily and Corvo talk in this one, and I want to see what Corvo's campaign is like. I want to know if he gets to, if he has to go to the all the same areas as Emily, or if he has new areas, like how Resident Evil has split campaigns and they're totally different totally different games, basically, within the same one. Also, I want more cosmic horror whales in my life. I've seen a few of them, but I want more of them. Right. I liked how in the DLC in the first one, there was a live one. I wanted to release it. Remember when I was talking about Free Willy? I wanted him to go ape shit and kill everybody. I wanted the whale as my ally.
I don't think that happens in Free Willy.
Yeah. I don't think that they don't send Willy to the whale disassembly plant.
Damn it. Number 5 is alive. Okay, anyway. I want to see Dishonored co-op too. That would be so cool. You could wreck some shit. That would be like really hard to program and get it to where it's actually still really challenging, but it would be so neat if they would actually ever do that, even as like arc, even for a little bit. And see, the Outsider is around, but he seems less cool this time. Kind of like, oh, hey, it's that guy, you know, like, yeah, I guess it's just probably my general tendency towards disenchantment over time. Like, I'm less impressed by stuff after a while, unless I'm really, really enthused by it, or it's absolutely absurd, and then I just get giggly because it's very silly.
There are also people who are kind of upset that they changed his voice actor.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I'm not like upset about it. Like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that thing. But like, I like the first voice actor better. I will say that.
Yeah,
and you know, he has these weird black eyes with no pupil iris or white eye at all, so he looks kind of like a bug.
So he looks like a guitarist or bassist for Limp Bizkit.
I want him to turn into a blood fly. Wouldn't that be so cool?
Well, shoot him with the trank dart.
Yeah, you know how to do this. Be the change you want to see in the world.
Well, actually, one of the things you can do in this one is you can actually, like, there's a something or other. Oh, I think it's whatever the power is that turns them into ash whenever you sneak up on them and kill them, the highest level of that actually makes it where they explode into a cloud of blood flies that goes and attacks people for you. So I haven't leveled that up because I don't really kill a lot of people. So it's not really worth it for me. When I go on my super violent rampage, I will totally do that. But
yeah.
See, what I'm wondering is what happens if you use Domino and then tranquilize rat explodey guy. Will everyone explode into rats?
No, I think it's probably just that one dude who's like programmed for that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know,
like that one dude
that's kind of disappointing.
Who has been the walking pile of rats for his entire life?
Well, especially because Emily's like, well, where'd he go? That just tells me that I'm going to see his ass again.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So.
It's going to be like so those Houdini splicers, except with rats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check the ceiling.
Like... Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I was up by the ceiling. I didn't see anything. I can tell you.
Yeah.
Because you know me. You know me from all the other times I talk about games. I'm like way the fuck out of the way when I'm shooting these fools.
Yeah.
So.
I need to. So this is revealing stuff. We just announced this on the episode of WAF that came out yesterday. We're doing we're reviving Watch Out for a Lens Flare. For one time, we're going to do an episode about Dishonored 2, and I need to go get the definitive edition for the PS4 because I haven't played the DLC, the one with what's his name, Kiefer. Kiefer Sutherland's character, so I need to do that, and Amazon is out of stock, so I have to take my chances going to a store like an animal.
a store
the worst.
So that's all.
It sounds like you're having fun with it. Like, that's great.
Well, you know, like I like the world and the traversal in the game continues to be fun for me, so I like to just, you know, bop around and do whatever, and it's fun. I enjoy it, and it's an extension of the first game insofar as I have played so far. I am looking forward to the parts where it is more than that and gives me new verbs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
do they still have non-violent but still somehow more fucked up endings for individual missions?
They're so far okay. So I'm on the fourth one so far. The non-violent ending for the mission I'm on right now seems pretty fucked up, but the other ones so far really haven't been all that exciting to date. And that's actually something that I talked with Steven about, because he was saying that he liked how in the first game it kind of felt like the non-violent endings were Mask of the Red Death, kind of whatever, you know, Edgar Allan Poe kind of creepy ironic shit. Yeah, and kind of thing. And in this one, there's only a couple of missions, because he played through the whole thing. There's only a couple of missions where he felt that the nonviolent endings held up to that same standard.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I haven't played all of the missions yet. There's what, I think 9 total, and I'm on 4. So, and okay. I'm halfway through 4. So I'm almost halfway through the game, but I'm not all the way through yet. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Huh.
But I'm presuming, though, that, Corvo probably has to just go through the same areas, which is kind of sad. I want new areas or something. Although, yeah, like, it doesn't really make sense for there to be new areas, I guess. But
there might be
take a different approach, like a couple of different levels, you know?
Yeah, or like the same levels but from different angles, or like with different parts of them opened up to you, possibly.
Yeah. That's you know, some kind of change to make it, you know, not just. Now this time with this power set and voice, yeah, you know, like, yeah. So nice. I don't know. We'll see.
Awesome. Anything else?
Nope. That's it.
Cool. I mentioned it earlier in the episode. I have not done very much of anything again with getting ready for the holidays and playing a shitload of Neverwinter Nights 2 and Mask of the Betrayer. Still just more Pokemon. Like, it's still delightful. I haven't gotten very far. I just did since last week, I passed an island trial that, so there was still a fight, but again, they've gotten rid of gym trial kind of things, or gym leader fights. So you're like at the top of this volcano talking to the fire type guy, and his whole thing is like, oh, I love to dance. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dance with my Pokemon, and you have to, we're going to dance twice, and you have to tell me what is different about the second dance.
What?
So you're watching the animation, and like the difference in the first one is very subtle. no matter if you get it right or if you fail, you still have to fight. And then the differences after that are just incredibly, like ridiculous. Like either a different Pokemon is in the screen in the second one, or like there's just a dude who walks across the frame, and that is the correct answer. I'm not sure how the fights change, but then you fight his, you know, ultra powerful kind of guy. I don't know the names of any Pokemon beyond the original 150, but it's pretty great. Just again, tons of character, delightful, all that stuff I said last week still holds true. And because I bought Moon, so Moon is time shifted by 12 hours, which means that if you're playing it at night, it'll be daytime in the game. And if you're playing it in the daytime, it'll be night in the game. So even though I only play it between the hours of like 10 p.m. and 1 a.m., I'm still playing under the full light of day, which means I will probably never catch any of the night exclusive Pokemon. Yeah.
By the way,
yeah,
I love the ultra powerful kind of guy.
You met him?
Yeah. Oh. He's my buddy. We go drinking. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. So that's me. David, how about you?
Sure. I guess as is appropriate for my brief, I've been binging on Sunless Sea.
Okay.
So I don't know if I've talked about it at all before. It's it's more or less it has a lot of the same DNA as Fallen London, where it's this Edgar Allan Poe Victorian occultism mashed up with some I guess you could arguably say steampunk, and then a lot of kind of Kipling type of DNA in there too.
Okay.
And sort of the core of the gameplay is, you know, you're a ship captain and you're making these runs to various ports, and having a adventure at each port that you make some decisions and attempt to survive and come back with loot.
It's a little bit like Oregon Trail-y, but with kind of more systems backing it up for your character's build or what right. your priorities are. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say a lot of it is a resource management. So you have fuel for your ship, the supplies, which are basically your food, and then terror, which is your crew.
Just how much terror you have on board.
Right, exactly. It's your crew, slowly losing your mind. And so it's a lot of, certain ports, it's either more or less difficult to get certain resources. So, for example, since everything's coal-fired, it's really easy to get, flammable things if you take a stop off in hell. On the other hand, if you are going to some tropical island, there's probably no coal, but you can probably get food for much under market value. And so there's a lot of kind of knowing your routes, knowing your ports, that sort of thing. And then also there's some trade-off between, for example, you can turn off the lights on your ship in order to save fuel, or take more circuitous routes, but then that's going to affect how much terror you generate.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of kind of resource management. It's kind of a lot of the core of it. I'd say I'd be interested to hear from someone who was more a fan of roguelikes, but I kind of feel like what strikes me as being unique about it is, the layout of the sea is procedurally generated every time you die. But compared to, say, like a Spelunky, where, it might be procedurally generated whether or not you see a shop, say.
Yep.
It's, a shop is still a shop. Whereas in this game, since each port is an actual, distinct location, it's going to, dramatically change viability of different shipping runs. Certain items only become particularly profitable because they can be traded at different ports for other items. So if those ports don't happen to be nearby each other in this run, it might not be viable to exploit that source of profit.
Yeah. Has the basics of that, have the basics of that changed a lot in the expansion and stuff? That I know you talked about that last week, that they've kind of sure. added kind of new stuff. Is that just like new fiction and mission kind of stuff, or are they kind of like messing with the way that you interact with the world that existed before?
I'd kind of say somewhere in between. It seems like one of the biggest changes is that at a lot of the surface ports, there's missions that send you to the other ports. Rather, I should say, send you to like underwater cities and ports.
Okay.
So there's a little bit more of an explicit like quest structure, or like, and kind of more direct stories this time around.
Okay.
There's also a little bit of difference because you can't necessarily see the port from the surface, so they're a little bit harder to find, and you don't have as strong of an understanding of, you know, what you're going to expect there.
Okay.
And I'd also say since this is effectively higher level content, a lot of this stuff is a little bit darker and a little bit more dangerous.
Okay.
So there's a lot of ports that, for example, every action you take there builds up some stat that has some negative side effect that you eventually are going to have to deal with.
Okay.
So like, for example, there's one of the places I just got to is like basically City of Scrimshaw, and it's this giant bone city that people have been etching the history of the world in, and it's free to enter, but you can't leave without leaving a part of yourself behind. So basically when you go to leave, you either have to like spend a whole bunch of your like stats or experience, or like chop off one of your fingers.
Okay.
It's like, so there's a lot of like lot just weird stuff like that.
Yeah. Does that make a difference later on? Is there, can you not answer the trivia question that happens to have the answer on that particular thing? That's a dumb reference to a thing barely anybody has played.
I don't know about that reference, but yeah, there's for all of these, there's various, far reaching consequences. And from what I've seen, a lot of the game is kind of the fact that you don't know, you don't have any way of knowing how these are going to affect things. Similarly enough, there's a lot of instances where like I'll find myself without enough fuel and food. And it's like, I'm going to, sail off in this direction and hopefully I'll find an island that I can get some fuel on.
Yeah.
So, I just throwing out like a couple of highlights so far. I've kind of took sides, sided with the rats in their war against the guinea pigs on one of the islands.
That's absurd. And
I am now advising them in how to build a successful culture. Yeah, so I advised them against prohibition, and in favor of housing projects. Let's see. I found a island where all mail that is lost at sea eventually ends up washing on the banks of this island. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently investigating. It appears that the mail has been washing up there for thousands of years. And so I'm, trying to investigate why that's happening. I actually, they just had a Christmas event where I basically ended up with a snow person that I... which was cool, except that they were, melting, so I had to go to.
I thought you were gonna say I got a snowman on the ship, and that was fun. Except he's racist. I don't know why that came to my mind. But
you know,
meanwhile, I was just like, he said it was cool, har har, David, and then he's melting. Yeah, he's cool, not cold anymore.
He's cool, but not for long. So you've got, and you have to like, do you have to get him like back to his homeland, or is it?
Well,
or is his life just temporary agony?
See, just because the game's actually depressing, he was basically made with the soul of a small child that died of some disease, and so I took him back to London, and only for him to realize that he can never really go home because he'll melt. So that set off this, you know, race against time where I eventually ended up making a deal with one of the demons in hell to help me find a way to temporarily subvert the laws of nature so that he won't melt.
Huh.
So yeah, you know, as you do. But so the point being, yeah, it's just a lot of really, really compelling, really interesting, often very bizarre stories. So all
of this sounds great.
Yeah, it's still really good. Still very, very progressive in terms of gender and racial roles, which is really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm happy you're still having fun with it. Like, you've been talking about this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're Resident Evil 6.
So now I just need to find dinosaurs.
Yeah, I'm sure that like if they have rats versus guinea pigs, there's gonna be dinosaurs.
Oh sure,
indeed.
Yeah. Did you have anything else, David?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that sounds like an episode to me. Do you all want to button it up?
Buttons.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this level 175. Wow, it moves so quickly. If you would like to help us out, well, no, fuck that. First, we have something cool. The title of the year competition is well underway. I need to go on to our Facebook and actually see where that runs. I need to actually tweet that out as well. Just like watch our social media channels to see where this is at. So if you're a new listener, first, welcome. Thank you. But if you're a new listener, go and check this out. We vote. We take every title from the previous year's worth of shows, and we put them up, and we have people select, like, hey, what are my top five favorites? And then we do nothing with that information besides announce a winner. the trick this time is we have actually collected all of the alternate titles for every single episode because I keep track of that now, and we have put those in. It is so big, the list in there, that that SurveyMonkey won't let us put them all on one screen or on one answer. So mm-hmm. we had to split split them apart. So I don't know if we're gonna do a tournament bracket kind of thing, like the top the top five, and then just kind of go along, do like a little runoff kind of tournament, and then put that up against the winner from the main ones, you know, just to find out. But like it's all in good fun, and it's mostly just to kind of like go back and look at all of the out of context goofy shit that we say. it's self-congratulatory, we know, but that is a quick survey you can take take a walk through memory lane with us.
Especially for Ben, because Ben's face is on the thing.
Yeah. The statue, it's like an Emmy statue. It's a polygonal Emmy statue with Ben's head photoshopped onto it. Oh man. So do that. Like us on Facebook so you can check out the multiplayer questions when those happen. Rate and review, and I think most of all, tell your friends. You're gonna be seeing a lot of folks over the course of the next month or so, and if they like video games, say, hey, I know these people, they do a thing. It makes a huge difference for us. Allison, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. We should do it again.
Yeah, yay! Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
definitely.
So we usually do the Twitter thing, but like, if there is a place where people can find you, where would you like them to find you?
You can find me on Twitter. That's fine. I'm at Allison by proxy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and do the whole outro thing then. So I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been David Mysmith at Mysmith777 on Twitter.
Allison already said hers.
Yep.
And I'm Jolichon in places.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, Twitter, because you already know Twitter. Damn it. You've heard it already. Oh. Let's move on.
we're almost done, Jala. Stick around for some titles. Okay, who has some that they want to throw in?
I got some lots.
Okay.
Barrichter.
Oh yeah.
You're right on the money, money.
Okay.
Pastitis.
I have pastitis as well.
Okay. Spontaneous chair failure.
I had that as well. Mm-hmm.
John Roulette. Get your face in that soup.
I have that as well. I like that a lot.
Mosquito hornets of hell.
Okay.
Old Testament pestilence. Ultra powerful kind of guy.
I had that too.
And he's cool, but not for long.
Okay. Let me see your Old Testament pestilence. How about you, David? Did you grab any?
No, I did not.
Allison, did you keep track of any that stuck out?
I thought about Barrichter, mm-hmm. and be careful about Paolo.
What was that? Be careful about what?
Paolo,
the guy who explodes rat guy. Into rats. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The rat man.
Yeah.
I think Get Your Face in That Soup is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's something Allison said. It relates to kind of a cornerstone of what she brought. Yeah, I think Get Your Face in That Soup. Any objections?
Do it.
Nope. Pro that.
Cool.